around many times, but it's still useful. Man stepped out the front door of his house and saw $100 bill sticking out of the corner of his welcome mat. He was very excited. He reached over and picked it up and looked around to see if he could see who might have left it. He ran back inside, excited to tell his wife about this. He told his friends, even gave a little prayer of thanksgiving to God for this gift. Told the people that he knew at work about this. And the next day came, he stepped out, and there's another $100 bill sticking out from under the welcome mat. And he was very happy about it, and he went in and told his wife, "Look, there's another one." And then he went off to work and went on about his business. And day after day after day, he stepped out the front door, and there's $100 bill under the corner of the welcome mat. And after a while, he stopped celebrating. After a while, he stopped even smiling. He just stepped out the door, reached down, picked it up, stuck it in his wallet, and went on about his day. And finally, sometime later, he stepped out one morning and wasn't there. No $100 bill. And he looked around to see who might have stolen it. And he mumbled and muttered to himself, "Where was his money? Who took his money? Why wasn't his money there?" And the next day came around with no $100 bill. He became angry with God. "Why did you take my money away?" The point of the story, of course, is how quickly we humans come to assume that that which we are used to is owed to us. That somehow the universe or cosmic fate or whatever owes us stuff. And we forget that it's all a gift from God to be celebrated each and every day. Our very relationship with God, our very life in God, even our life itself. When you woke up this morning, did you remember to give thanks for God that you can suck in another breath? Did you remember to give thanks that there's air around you with oxygen in it to provide what you need? You did nothing to put that air there. God put that air there for you. Even if you had to boil your water, we aren't full of water. Did you remember give thanks that God put you in a world with water to drink and provided all that you need? You see, we so quickly and easily come to assume that all of this is our due, that somehow we are owed all of this stuff. And we forget that it is a gift of God, and we do so to our peril. Were many leaders in the Jewish community in Jesus' day that had forgotten that their place in God, their synagogue, their worship life, their temple, their place as the chosen people of God was a gift. It could not be presumed upon. And that they could forget what it meant to be the chosen people of God, and in doing so, lose the blessing. And so to tell them about this, Jesus told this parable, the parable of the landowner. And he provided all that was needed. He planted the vineyard, he put the wall around it, protected it from thieves and wild animals, and he put a press, he even put a press in the middle of it so that they could press the grapes and make their wine. And then he went away and leased it to some tenants. And all that he asked of them was when the time came, he was to get his share, which was typically of the 10%. He was to get 10% of the fruits from the vineyard. Well, the time came and he sent the servants to pick it up, and they beat him up. And he sent some more, and he threw them out. And he sent some more, and he killed them. And he And they all got together and they said, hey, this is the son. If we kill him, we'll get the vineyard. The rule in that day was that if you had land leased to a tenant and you died without an heir, then the land went to the tenants. That was the rule about inheritance. And so they thought, if we kill the son, the heir, then we'll get it when the old man dies. So that's what they did. They killed him. In spite of the fact that everything had been provided for them, all they needed to do was care for it and return a small portion in thanksgiving to the one who had provided it. They wanted it for their own. They wanted to be in control. They wanted it to be their thing. And so Jesus says to them, group of Pharisees and priests and so forth, and he says to them, so what do you think the landowner is going to do? And they said, he will put those wretches to a miserable death. I'm reminded, see, I grew up in the 70s and 80s. I remember going to see the Dirty Harry movies. Those were popular at that time. There always comes a climatic scene in a Dirty Harry movie where he pulls out his 45 Magnum and points it at the bad guy. Because those were back in the days when movies were full of, you know, very clear. This was the good guy, this was the bad guy. And, it was, and we'd all go, yeah! But notice, that wasn't Jesus' answer. That was their answer. That was the Pharisees' answer to put those wretches to a miserable death. Jesus has a different answer. And so he quotes from Psalm 118. Have you never read in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it was marvelous in our eyes. Now, on the surface of it, of course, that's a reference to the prophets and now to Jesus as the Son, who have been rejected, but now in God's plan are seen to be indeed the cornerstone of the building. But if we take a larger psalm, and remember, Jesus' hearers, they knew these psalms. They sang them, they recited them over and over again. They knew this story, and Psalm 118 was a particularly important and often sung psalm. You know when we do Psalm 118? Palm Sunday, when we process around the church and back in, we recite Psalm 118, the whole thing. It's a long psalm. I'm not going to read it all right now. But you can go home and read it. It's a psalm about snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. It's a psalm that celebrates that no matter how dire the circumstances look, God has a plan to bring his purposes out, to bring his salvation, to bring his redemption for his people. That's what that psalm celebrates. That's why we sing it on Palm Sunday in preparation for that walk of Holy Week, that no matter how dire the circumstances look, Jesus is in a dungeon, in prison, and about to be crucified, no matter how bad things look. God has a plan to redeem his people. God has a plan for our salvation. And they knew that that's what that psalm was about. They understood that. And you see, the promise is that God will bring his salvation to his people. Not that he will just kill those miserable wretches. That there is a plan for salvation. And then, in case they didn't get it, he said it more plainly. He said, therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. He's warning them, by your presumptuousness, by your presumption of your place as the called and chosen people of God, you can in fact lose the glories of the kingdom. You can in fact lose the wonder, the gift of your relationship with God. Do you remember the line in the psalm that we recited? we just sang, Psalm 19. Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sin. Let them not get dominion over me. Presumptuous sins are those sins that are rooted in presuming upon our relationship with God. And let that not take root within me.
Produce the
suggest to you that it begins